I don't know. Right, so I wanted to take up a question over here in the matter of Yetzias Mitzrayim that always it's always troubling to me. And to you too, probably. Questions like this: why from the very beginning, when Hashem tells Moshe to take Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim, he doesn't exactly say that. In terms of what Moshe should communicate to Paro. He doesn't say to Moshe, go tell Paro, the time for the Jews to leave Mitzrayim is up. Right? I'm here and I'm taking them out. Right? From the very beginning, what does he say? He says, first time, let's see, in Gimel, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Vayomer, Yud Ches, so he says, "Vishamu l'kolecha." They'll listen to your voice, right? Uvaso ata v'zikne Yisrael melech Mitzrayim. You'll all go to melech Mitzrayim. V'amartem elav Hashem elokei ivriim nikra eleinu. Okay, so Hashem appeared to us. V'ata nelcha no derech shloshes yamim b'midbar. V'nizbicha l'Hashem elokeinu. And now let's go for 3 days. We got a 3-day trip to take to the Midbar to do Karbanos. And that's always what Moshe tells Paro. Always tells Paro, send us out for 3 days so that we can sacrifice to God. And the question is, what's the purpose of that ruse? What's the purpose of saying that we just want to go for 3 days? It's not true. Right, they want to go for longer. They want to get out of there. What's the purpose of trying to fool Paro? If you look through the whole thing, that's always the back and forth between Moshe and Paro. Right, it's prominent in this week's parsha. I mean, or last week's parsha more. That as the Makos get beefed up, and as Paro gets more and more desperate, they start negotiating on the terms of this 3-day trip. Right? Let's just take a quick look here. And again, every time he comes back, he tells them, 3 days. Give us 3 days. Right, so the Mefarshim say it wasn't a lie. He didn't say we're going to come back after 3 days. He just said we want to go for a 3-day, have a 3-day sacrifice over there. But he never said we'll come back. Okay, so that's just a question that he didn't like. But that was always the dialogue. Let's see. If you start from where Pyro starts giving in a little bit. Where did he start giving in a little bit? He says,
wasn't after Barod?
After Barod, then he was really shaken up.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, just parenthetically, it's interesting that Barod had there was a certain effect of Barod that he didn't have beforehand. What was the effect of Barod?
Didn't destroy all their crops.
That's true, but there was something unusual about the Makkah itself that he told them ahead of time. This is what you can do to save yourself, right? He said, I'm going to send down the barad. Hayare es devar Hashem, me avde paro, heinis es avodov, yes mikneu elabotam. So he said to Paro, the ones of your nation who fear God's word, they can rescue themselves. They'll rescue their servants and their animals, put them in the house. And whoever doesn't, then they'll leave their stuff in the field. And that's what it says. Then those will die. So what was really the idea over there? Yeah.
Why would anyone in Mitzrayim not bring their
stuff? That's a good question. Would anybody not bring their stuff inside? They're animals. They're crops. They don't have a choice.
Yeah.
I heard it.
Right. But I think also what's interesting is that up until now, the Makos were uniform over the whole country. And basically, it was up to Paro. Paro had the fate of the people in his hand. It was up to him. If he decided to send Bnei Yisrael, then they would be saved. If he didn't, everybody would suffer. Okay, this one was the first. It gave the Mitzrim a certain sense of an identity, of independence, that they are not, their fate is not totally dependent on Paro. The Mitzrim deified Paro too. Paro represented himself as like a god, and that's true. The pharaohs did present themselves as a deity, or
he said he couldn't even go in the bathroom.
Right, he would go in the morning to the river, but over here to break this was like the first step of giving the Mitzrim the possibility of an idea that even though Paro says no, we can have a different fate. Right, it's a powerful thought that doesn't occur to people under that mindset. So that was the first limud, and you'll see it worked. Why? Because after that, the next mako. Okay, so the bard came down. Yeah. One second. The bard came down, and Paro relented, but then of course. Changed his mind again, and then when he came back, and then when Moshe came back with the next maka, which was the arba, right? He says, now I'm going to bring the arba to finish off everything that was left from the barad. And it says, listen to this. It says, vayetze miyim vayifen vayetze miyim paro. So Moshe and Aaron came. This is in Yud Vav. Moshe and Aaron came. They said, we got a big maka coming for you. It's going to wipe out all the crops that were left over from Barad. And they left. But listen to what happens. This is the only time this happens. Vayomru avde paro elov. Admosa yie lonu lemokesh. Shalach es anashim. Viavdu es Hashem alo kehem. Haterem teda ki avda Mitzrayim. So what happened? Apparently there was an effect on the Mitzrim from Barad. They realized that they don't have to. It broke them away from their identity with Paro as being the sole decider. Now, when they got the warning about Arba and Moshe and Aaron left, Avde Paro said to Paro, "What are you crazy? Why should we wait for the Arba to come? Let's just get rid of them already." So you see, already it started somewhat of an inner rebellion, right? And this was even before the Maka occurred. And then it says, Vayusha ves Moshe ves Aaron el Paro. They ushered them back. They pulled them back. And they said, okay, go. L'chu ivdu es Hashem elokechem. Go worship your God. But, what did they say? Mi von mi aholchem. But tell me who's going.
Yeah.
Now they started the negotiation. They started this strange negotiation over the three-day event. And Moshe said, well, everybody's got to go. Everybody's got to come, little, young, old, everybody's got to come. We got to take our children, we got to take all of our property. And then he said, no, that's not right. Only the men. Because the men are the ones who do avodah. So you see, Moshe and Paro were still engaged in this funny negotiation over the 3 days. It was over the Now, why did Paro say no? Obviously, he didn't believe him that it was a 3 day thing. Right? And that was just like this strange dialogue going on over here.
Oh, no, because God strengthened his heart.
No. When he said to him, he said, "Lo chein lechu noha gevorim v'ivdu." V'ivdu es Hashem ki oso atem avakshim. Right, he says, "I'm only going to tell you. You can only go not like you said with your babies and everything. Only the men, because that's what you said." Bikashtem adhena, Rash says. You don't bring babies to bring sacrifices. So obviously he was accusing Moshe of lying a little bit over here. No? He's saying, look, why would you want to bring the taf? You said you want to go and sacrifice, and now you're telling me you got to bring the babies? Right? And that's what Rashi, the Ramban, explains also. The pasuk before, it's a strange pasuk. It says, "Vayomer aleihem yehi chein Hashem imochem kasher ashalach eschem v'yastapachem ki ro'o neged pinechem." Very hard pasuk just to read. Right? What does it mean, ro'o neged pinechem? So Unkelus says, "Are bisha de'atun severin lemebad, the bad that you intend to do, lekobel apechon." Okay, so Ramban says there are different gears and different nuschos and unkelos. But he says like this.
Nachmanides.
Okay. They say like this. Misha Omar Dover Zeh. He's like this. But he was telling him, "Ein daito el levroach," that Paro was accusing him of really intending to run away. Right? Ru'u ki osa sha'ata mevakshem lasos sheish b'daitechem levroach hi toshav neged pnechem shlo teitzu mikan. So Paro was answering him back, "I know this is baloney. You're really trying to run away. Because if you weren't trying to run away, you would just send them in. So that evil that you're trying to run away is going to come back and bite you." So you see, it was like Moshe kept up this pretense of going for 3 days. Why? And then also, why? What else happened? And then at the end, that was Arba. Then Choshech. Right. Then Choshech comes along. And again, Paro says, okay, go. Lichu ivdu es Hashem. Just leave your sheep and your cattle behind. Even your kids can go with you. So he relented a little bit, but he still wanted to leave something behind that they're going to, it's like, you know, leave your deposit behind. You know what I mean?
Seems like a reasonable request.
Yeah, it seems like a reasonable request. And Moshe said, no, even you are going to give us stuff to take. Tough negotiator.
Right.
Says, no. Once power, now it seems unfair totally, right? I mean, now it sounds like Moshe is changing the terms.
Moshe
would have
been a pretty good sports agent.
Right now that he's, he says, "Gam atotitin biyodein esvachem volos. Gam miknenu yelechimonu lo tishor parso ki mimenu nikach. Lava the Shem Elokeinu." But he still gives this funny idea. We need to take everything for that to Chag Lashem. He's still pretending, like he's still saying it's not because we're leaving. Okay. So what is the point of all this? What is the point of all this? That's the question. It's a good question. It's a good question. So I was looking into it a little bit. As usual, if you look into things a little bit, you know, you find somebody said something about it. So it turns out it's a very interesting drasha Sarai. The Barbanel bring, he mentioned the Ran. So Barbanel is usually good for these kinds of questions. You know, he takes up these problems that are pretty open when you think about them.
But Barbanel is fairly contemporary, right?
No. He was in the expulsion.
Oh, okay.
Right. I know someone that's a direct descendant of the Barbanel.
Yeah, we have a guy in the yeshiva, Louis Barbanel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he actually
see? That's what they claim.
That's
what they claim. Okay, so the Ron, so I'll tell you, I'll read what the Ron says, and then I'll offer another possibility. The Ron has like this. he's talking about believing in the Navi. That's the topic of this drasha. It's the 11th drasha in the Drashas of Ron. And he says like this. There's a big question. It's another fantastic question. He says, it says, after Kriyas Yamsuf, the Pasuk says, Vayaminu Bashem Uvamoshe Avdo. Right, so he's talking about that we believe a Navi, after a Navi does Osos and Movsim, there's a certain belief in the Navi. And then he says, but there's a problem, because it says by Moshe, after Kriyas Yamsuf, they believed in Moshe. Vayaminu Bashem Uvamoshe Avdo. They believed that Moshe was the Eved Hashem after Kriyas Yamsuf. Just as that implies that they didn't believe him before Kriyas Yamsuf. Oh yeah, he says. So why not? Why not? I mean, we believe the Navi after the Osos and Mofsim, like the Torah says. That's how you believe a Navi. So the answer is like this: that after Moshe did the Osos, they definitely believed him. They completely believed him. In other words, when he came to the Jews initially. And he had the Osos, right, with his hand and the Nachash and the Dam on the Mayim. He says they definitely believed him. Of course, it says, Vayamin Ha'om. I mean, that's in the beginning over there. Right in the beginning. Yeah. Vayamin Ha'om. Right, that was right after Yelech Moshe v'Aaron v'yasu es kol zikne Yisrael v'yedaber Aaron es kol advar m'shir diber Hashem Moshe v'yasa osos le'enei ha'am v'ya'amein ha'am v'yishmu'u ki pakad Hashem es b'nei Yisrael v'chi ro'as anyam v'yikdu v'yishtachavu. That's at the end of Dalet. So after those osos, they definitely believed him completely. Kilomo Yaminu Bo Yosef Rikrius Yamsuf Masha Yaminu Bo Haosos Shaosa Ben Mitzrayim. It says, why is Kriyas Yamsuf a bigger os than the other ones? Certainly the Makos, right? Because the miracles prove certain things about. But this is going to explain, what he has to say over here is going to explain a lot of problems. In the topic of Yisus Mitzrayim. So he says like this. Initially, I'm gonna loosely translate. Initially, when Moshe did the Osos, they believed him completely. But afterwards, they saw things that troubled them and gave them doubt. Okay, now that's his answer. You gotta appreciate the formulation, the format. You know, the method of his answer. He's saying, Osos and Mofsim are supposed to be give you Amunah in the Navi. There were Osos and Mofsim initially, so why didn't they have Amunah in the Navi? Why did they have a Kriyas Yamsuf if they had Amunah in the Navi? Mashma, they didn't have it before. So his answer is no. They definitely had full Amunah in Moshe from the initial Osos and Mofsim. Why does it say, Vayaminu b'Hashem Moshe Avdo by Kriyas Yamsuf? He says, there must have been after the initial phase of believing in him, something must have occurred that gave them a little doubt that needed to be fixed at Yamsuf. That's just the format, you understand? That's just the format of an answer.
The Osos and Mosim are the snake in the hand?
Yeah, that was the initial part. That's what it says in the end of Talib. And certainly the, certainly Makos would count. So he says like this, so what is it? What is it? What is it that bothered them? Because initially he came to the Jews and he said to them very simple, a simple statement. Pokar Hashem es b'nei Yisrael v'rotza l'atzilam miyam Mitzrayim. Ulhanchilam ha'aretz asher nishba lav aseinu. Right? That's what he said. He said to b'nei Yisrael with a simple message. God has seen your pain. the time of the Geula is nigh. We're going to take, I'm going to take you out, and I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael, the land that God promised you, to your fathers. But they were troubled. Why, when he came to Paro, did he say, we just want to go for 3 days? That bothered them. He said, look, Moshe's coming to us. He's telling us the plan is really to go to Eretz Canaan, to leave permanently. So why is it when he goes to Paro, he tells them a different story? That troubled the Jews. It gave them a certain unsettled feeling. And they thought to themselves like this. That sounds like a weak guy trying to trick his master to let him to run away, into running away. That's not what a strong person says. If a guy was strong and coming with from a position of power, he would just lay it on the table and say, hey, Paro, we're out of here. Right? We're out of here. This sounds like a guy who has to maneuver and trick his way out. That sounds bad. As the Ron says, why would he need to do that? Hayad Hashem Tiktzar? It gives them doubt. Maybe God can't really pull it off. Maybe there's something wrong over here. Right? Hallo im lo yaspiku bezeh. Says why not? I mean, why couldn't he just come straight? If is God's hands limited? If the 10 makos wouldn't do it, so give another 10 makos. Eventually he'll break, right? That's what bothered them. That's exactly what bothered them. Even though they believed him initially, when they heard what he said to Paro, they said, Lama yira mehagid leparo kamosha. Why is he afraid to tell Paro the way it is? And he says, and the truth is, this is a very big problem. Okay, and even if you're going to say, and this is the Barbanel's answer, even if you're going to say that the reason why Hashem sent Moshe with the message to take us to go for 3 days is to demonstrate the stubbornness of Paro, that he wouldn't even accede to a short break. Yeah, as in? Maybe you'll say that. Maybe you'll say, look, the reason why he did the three-day request was not because he was afraid to ask Paro for the whole thing, but on the contrary, he wanted to demonstrate how unreasonable Paro was. That Paro wouldn't even accept a 3-day break.
It's not so unreasonable. If you have workers who are in your factory,
right,
and they come up to you and say, oh, we all want to take off for 3 days, that doesn't seem like,
It's not such an unreasonable request, especially if you've enslaved them for a few generations.
But if all those people are doing it simultaneously, that implies there's a strike going on, or there's ulterior motives. That's the point.
Right.
You can go just leave your kids.
Right. So that's the problem with that answer, right? Because Paro was pretty clear to Paro that they weren't just going for 3 days. I mean, well, we'll have to see. So he says that he could understand that answer. But there's another problem that bothers him. We still have a problem. Why did they have to go to the Mitzrim and ask them to borrow their stuff? Why didn't they have to do that? That's what bothers him too. So if you're going to tell me for Paro, that's one thing. But why did they have to go to the Mitzrim and ask them to borrow their stuff? So what he wants to say like this. So the answer that he wants to give is a very interesting answer. He says that God's ways... It's Eitzos Mirochok. God has a certain idea that we can't always see. We don't see it. It's a long-term plan that we can't understand. So sometimes the plan of God appears to us in the short term strange and incomprehensible. But ultimately, when we see it in the end, it reveals it's the idea. So he says that's the same thing over here. There was some purpose for this request of 3 days that gave the Jews doubt at the time because it seemed strange, but ultimately they realized what it was all about. And this is basically what he wants to say. He basically wants to say that the idea was, if you look through the parsha, what happens in Bishalach, it says, at the end of Bo, Paro sends the Jews out. Sounds like he's totally turned around. I mean, he says, because he even says, he says when he sends them out, he says, Vayakom Paro Laila Hu, yeah. Vayikra Lamoshe Laron Laila Vayomer Kumu Tzu Mitoch Ami Gam Atem Gam Bnei Yisrael Ulechu Ivdu Es Hashem Kedaberchem Gam Tzonchem Gam Bekarchem Kechu Kasher Dibartem Valechu Uveirachtem Gam Osi. Everything. He says you get everything you want. Rashi explains. What does it mean? Kasher Dibartem, right? Kidaberchem, everything you wanted. Nothing like I said. I'm bottle. I said don't go, that's all bottle. I said me v'mihalchem, that's all bottle. I said leave the cattle, I said leave the sheep, that's all bottle. Everything you wanted, I grant you. Even gam ata titin biyodenu zvachem v'olos. And we're even going to, you're even going to take from us zvachem and olos. So it seems like a total... A total reversal, seems like a total full acquiescence to the request for the 3 days. But then it says that Hashem says to Moshe, I'm gonna trick Paro. I'm gonna appear like the Jews are lost and mistaken and don't know where they are. And then Paro will chase after them. V'chizakti eslev Paro. So it says like this, Vayugad lemelech Mitzrayim ki borach ha'am. Someone told the king of Egypt that the nation escaped. Vayehofech levav paro vavodav elo'am. Vayomu mazos osinu kishilach nesro me'avdenu. They said, uh-oh, we made a big mistake. And then they ran after them. So that's what the Ran wants to say. He wants to say that the idea was like this. You have to think about this. He says, the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was really ultimately to get the Mitzrim to follow the Jews out into the Yam Suf and be destroyed by Mayim. Because the Gemara says that was like Paros, like Yisro said, that it was a Mida Keneged Mida. They tried to destroy the Jews with Mayim by throwing the babies in the Or, and they're going to be destroyed by Mayim. So he says, that really was the Atzas Hashem Eirachok, that ultimately the Mitzrim should be destroyed by the Mayim of Yam Suf. But how could you get them out? Says, if they would have said to Paro initially, we're leaving, we're out of here for good, then he would have agreed to that. And then he never would have run after them. It was only when he agreed, you have to listen to this, this is something you have to sort of hear. He says, it was because he agreed to a 3-day event.
So would it take them off, you mean?
Yeah, he agreed to a 3-day event. That was his mindset. Then he saw something changed, and then he reconsidered. You understand? Then he said, oh, they broke the deal. Now he's going to run after them. But without the setup of the 3-day thing, he would have already accepted the fact that they're gone. He sort of never accepted that they're fully gone, because the whole dialogue was only in terms of a short break. Then when he saw that he was taken advantage of, so to speak, he was tricked in a certain way, then he got angry and he decided to run after them. So he says that was the whole purpose of speaking about it in terms of the 3-day event. I'll just read you what he says so you get the straight story. He says, oh, and also, I'm missing an element, and also, he himself thought they must be weak because they're trying to trick me by leaving. It was he himself thought that since they didn't say they're really leaving initially, they themselves must be afraid And that gave him courage to go after them too. You understand? Because he thought, oh, maybe God is not really on their side. Maybe God is not. If they were so confident in their ability to leave, it was the old double switcheroo. If they were, I know you think that I'm thinking that you know. That. So they're like this. They wanted to make Paro think that they thought that they couldn't run away straight. That they thought that they couldn't just run away with their own strength.
Oh,
you understand? So,
meaning they wanted to make Paro feel like he had some power over
that's
them?
Right. They wanted to sucker him in.
Yeah.
Like they said, it was all laying a trap so that now when he sees that they're running away, he'll say, oh, I see, they tried to trick me. Why did they try to trick me? It must be that they really don't think they can do it on their own. So you see, they're afraid of me still. So maybe this was all just a natural thing. That's why he says, that's why the Yamsuf was a Ruach Kodem, he says. Why was it blown by a wind? Why was there a natural wind? He says it was in order to fool Paro. To think that it was just a natural event. And maybe it wasn't all part of the Yad Hashem. That gave him the strength to run in and be destroyed.
What about all the Makos, though?
Paro had a short-term memory. That was one of his things. Short-term memory.
So even when the Makos happened, right, a lot of them weren't, Barad wasn't a natural...
And he says a fantastic point, though. He says, and if you're going to say, does that make sense that God tricks people like this, right? He says, with the blowing of the wind. Because he wants to say that the blowing of the wind was not really what created the splitting of the sea. That was all just to make it appear like it was natural. Interesting pshat, huh? So he says, but that makes it sound like God just did something to fool Paro. So he says, yeah, but he did something even worse to fool Paro. Because it says in the beginning when they ran out of Mitzrayim, it says, where did they camp? It says, opposite Baal Tzifon. So Rashi says, why was it opposite Baal Tzifon? Because that was the one god that wasn't destroyed. To fool the Mitzrayim into thinking that the Jews were being defeated by this god. To fool the Mitzrayim into thinking that this god had power over them and that's what was preventing them from leaving. So you see, you see God fooled Paro into thinking that there was some power to Avodah Zarah in order to make him chase them out of Mitzrayim. Interesting pshat, huh? So I'll just tell you, so I think it's very interesting pshat. There's a lot to think about here. But I'll just give you what I was thinking about before I saw the Ran. I'll tell you like this. Based on the Rambam's pshat, the Rambam says the question of how could God take away Paro's Bechira, right, in the end of Hilchos Tshuva. Not in the end, but Perek Vav, I think it is, in Hilchos Tshuva. So the Rambam explains that sometimes someone creates such a sin, such a rishus, that Hashem takes away their ability to do tshuva in order to give them an onesh. Because it's a funny type of a situation. If the person would do tshuva, apparently he wouldn't be able to get the onesh. Okay, so sometimes the onesh that he deserves is so great that it would naturally cause him to do tshuva, which would prevent him from getting the onesh. So once the Gemar Din is fixed that he needs to get this onesh, the tshuva must be withheld. Otherwise, the onesh that he deserves wouldn't be able to be implemented. Interesting idea. So then the Rambam says that's what happened with Paro. That he was such a... He sinned so greatly, chet gadol, or chatoim harbe, ad sheyitin hadin lefnei hadayan ha'emes, sheyiyah ha'piron mizeh ha'chotei al-chatoim elu she'osu v'rtzono midaito, she'monen mimenu ha'tshuva, ve'im menichin lo reshus loshov mirisho, kidei she'yomus v'yoved b'chatoim she'osa. His decree is he must die in the state of rishus that he created himself. So then the Rambam says, so then if that's the case, why did Hashem keep sending Moshe to ask Paro to leave. If he withheld his bechira, what's the point in asking him? Right? So the Rambam says, "V'lomo hoya sholeach lo biyad Moshe v'omer shalach v'asei teshuva." Why did he say, "Send the Jews and do tshuva"? Ukvar omer lo akosh baruch hu she'antam shalach. It doesn't make sense. Hashem says to Moshe, "I know he's not going to send you. Go and ask him to send you." Kidei lehodia leboi ha'olam. It was only to demonstrate to other people. Shebizman. That when God withholds the tshuva from the chote, it's impossible for him to do tshuva. Okay. If God withholds the ability for someone to do tshuva, it will be impossible for him to do tshuva. So therefore, according to the Rambam, the whole thing was to demonstrate this idea. So the request of Moshe that the Jews should leave was not really to effectuate the Jews leaving, because it was already determined from the fact that God would withhold tshuva from Paro that he would not be able, that they would not leave through that method. But the request was to show one thing, that when a person has reached a certain level of chait, he will not be able to do tshuva. So therefore the request, really the Rambam adds in one extra word: send the Jews and do tshuva, he says. So maybe that's the idea of the 3 days. It was, if he just said, send the Jews out of Mitzrayim, let them leave. That's true. That would be a certain idea. That would be a certain level of justice. That you recognize that you don't have a right to oppress this nation anymore. But that wouldn't be Tshuva Gemura. Tshuva Gemura would have to be to recognize the evil that you did and to recognize the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Excuse me, Rabbi.
Yes.
I have a Twitter. I want to know what's going on in the world.
So I was saying is like this. So maybe that's the Ram. Maybe that's the way the Ram is would answer this question. That in order to, like the Rambam says about the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, so if somebody keeps Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, but not because they were given by God, but just because he thinks they're good, then he's not considered righteous. So you have to recognize God in your ethics, and that would really be a tshuva for the mitzvah to recognize that this am, not just a matter of oppressing another nation, but this am is an am Hashem, and they have to they have an idea of avdus to Hashem, and that's why they have to be, and that's really the source of their rights. Just to say we're going to go to our new homeland in Eretz Canaan, that wouldn't bring up that wouldn't highlight that concept. The message of Moshe was a message that had to encompass a full idea of tshuva, in order to demonstrate Paro's utter inability to reconsider his actions and his ideology. So the message of going for zevach, going for avoda, really was, like Ram says, none of it was really in order to effectuate any change, because it was known that nothing would effectuate change. So it had to be framed in a way that showed that he can't do any tshuva. I have to think about it. Not totally thrilled with it.
Fit with the 3 days?
Well, I don't know why 3 days, but it had to fit with the idea of him accepting. And that's why Moshe said in the end, you even should give us zvachim. No, it was to show what the full tshuva gemura would have been, that Paro would recognize the Jews' need for avodas Hashem and recognize avodas Hashem as a good, and would even want to participate in it. But he wouldn't be able to participate in going to Eretz Canaan. That's not something he could participate in. The full tshuva would have been for Paro to recognize that what Bnei Yisrael are doing is correct, and to recognize the idea that he should be part of it. So he had to offer him something that he really could have himself engaged in. That would have been for Tshuva Gemura. To say, completely disgorge yourself of this nation, that's not Tshuva Gemura. That's not necessarily true of Gemara. It would have to include this idea. It would have to be based on these, on an idea of recognition of the concept of Avodas Hashem, and then he had to offer him something that could, that he himself could engage in Avodas Hashem. And what's the Miva Mi'alchem? Yeah. The only problem is, the interesting thing is, it seems like Paro did achieve that at the end. That's what's interesting. It does seem like he achieved that at the end. Because at the end, in the end of Bo, he said, take everything you want, and even take from me. So, it sounds like he did achieve tshuva at that point. That's the only thing that's funny. What would the Rambam say about that pasuk? That pasuk sounds like real tshuva. That pasuk sounds like real tshuva.
He just wants to get rid of them.
Yeah.
But he did say also, he did tell them also, like Rashi says, he did tell them also, this baruch hu alai. Bless me. But some learn that he was saying, he was just pleading with them to remove the makkah. His baruch hu alai doesn't mean I will engage in. So that seems to be a question of that. Did he ever really have an idea of tshuva? Rashi seems like he learns he did, but then the trick at the end sort of. Like the Rambam says, that someone who does something good and then is what they call toha al rishonos, he regrets the good that he did, he loses all his chus of that good. So that's what, I guess that's what you would have to learn. If you held that he had a moment of tshuva over here, you would have to learn that when he says, when they all say, ma'asinu, what did we do? Kishilachna Yisrael, what did we do? We sent them away. That's like a guy who's a toa al rishonos. That's like a guy who regrets everything he did, all the mitzvahs he did, and then the Rambam says none of them count towards him anymore. Okay, so something to think about. But that's an interesting run, right?